Thank you, Brother Allen. I appreciate that. Open your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 21 with us this morning. The only true power comes from God Almighty Himself. Fleshly power will not last you. Physical power will betray you. But the power of God Almighty Himself will never, ever fail you. John chapter 21, we've been looking at Jesus' appearances after the resurrection. Last week we looked at when Jesus appeared in the upper room to the disciples and when the message that He delivered to them there. Now we want to look at another appearance that Jesus Christ made with His disciples, but only a select few of them this time. John chapter 21, verse number 1. Now after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And then John says, this is how it took place. And on this wise showed He Himself. So in other words, he says, He met them on the Sea of Tiberias, and this is what happened. He identifies the principal players in this. He says, there were together of the disciples, Simon Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Now there were seven men altogether. But the amazing thing about those men, five of them, we know, did not have a very good track record. We look at Simon Peter, we know that Simon Peter had a problem with his mouth. He had a problem with sticking his foot in his mouth. He had a problem being very impetuous, which is not a problem sometimes. But sometimes it's better to keep our mouth closed than open. We look at Thomas, and we all know what Thomas did. We see him doubting. We see him saying, well, no, Jesus really didn't come back to life because I hadn't seen Him. Then we look at Nathanael. Nathanael had a problem with this man when he was told about Jesus. This man, Nathanael said, this man, nothing good comes out of the Galilee when he heard about who Jesus Christ was. And then you look at the sons of Zebedee. The sons of Zebedee, who is that? Well, one of them was John, and the other one was James. And these are two of the disciples that were fighting amongst themselves. Mom says, I'm better looking than you are. Mom says that I'm more powerful than you are. And they are fighting amongst themselves, and then that fight spread to the other disciples. Matter of fact, right before when Jesus Christ was crucified, they were fighting amongst themselves, and they were saying this, well, when Jesus comes back, I'm going to be this position. When Jesus comes back, I'm going to do this. Matter of fact, they even had their mom come to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you please tell us what positions they're going to have after you return in your government? Sons of Zebedee, James and John. And then there's the other two of the disciples. And you say, well, who are those other two? You know who I think those other two were? Was me and you. And you say, now, wait a minute. We weren't alive back then. Well, maybe you weren't. Danny was. But anybody else wasn't alive back then. But the other two. Who were the other two? You know why I say it was me and you? Because we had the same issues. There's not a single one of us that would have stood up and said, oh, I got it all figured out. I'm the one following Jesus like I'm supposed to be doing. No, they were just as scared and just as wondering and doubtful as you and I are. Now this morning you may be saying, Brother Brian, I'm not there today. I'm not scared and I'm not doubtful. I've got it all figured out. Well, hallelujah, praise God you do today. But what about yesterday? What about last week? What about last month? What about tomorrow? See, if we realize and understand and go ahead and confess it, that we just don't have it all figured out, and that's okay. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all in place. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You don't have to have your name and the grade A plus on everything you do and say. You don't have to. That's why Jesus came.
So stop trying to be perfect. Stop looking at yourself like you're a failure. Stop trying to tell yourself, well, I haven't... Listen, Jesus didn't come to heal those who aren't needing healing. Do you need healing this morning? Physically? Maybe not. Maybe emotionally. But most importantly, maybe there's someone in here this morning that needs healing spiritually. So we see these seven disciples, and you would think they had just got through seeing Jesus Christ face to face in the upper room. You would think that, wow, they're ready to go. But I see here some trepidation. I see some things here that they're having doubts about. Because look what it says, verse number 3. Simon Peter, the leader of these men, he told them, he says, hey, listen, I'm going fishing. Now, there's nothing wrong with going fishing, okay? All you fishermen out there, it's okay. All right? I have what's called the Schuler curse. What's that? Anytime you take me fishing or anybody that has the last name of Schuler, S-C-H-U-L-E-R, you don't catch a thing, but a cold maybe. Brother Dale has tried a couple of times, and he'll catch him and bring him in the boat, and they just look at me and laugh. I don't know what it is. But Peter says, I'm going, and I can see some of you saying, well, I'll change that. Well, hope so. Let me know. I'm going fishing. But look what it says after that. They, who is they? The other six disciples. They said unto him, we're also going with thee. They went forth, and they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught everything they could catch. What does it say? They caught nothing. They had the Schuler curse. No. They caught nothing because, number one, they were doing it all wrong. They were trying to do something in their own power. Number two, they caught nothing because it wasn't the right time for them. They were fishing at night, but it wasn't the right time. But I think the third most important thing, the reason they caught nothing, so that Jesus Christ could show himself mighty. Brothers and sisters, have you ever failed at something you tried to do? Maybe this week, you've gone down in flames. Maybe this week has been the hardest of your life. May I tell you that that's a good thing? Are you crazy? It's to show you that you really need Jesus Christ. That you can't do it on your own anymore. Some of us are trying to do it ourselves. And I promise you, you may be successful for a short time, but when it really gets hard, you need Jesus. So as they go fishing, and they catch nothing. Verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, underline that. The morning is going to come. What do you mean? It always seems to be darkest in the middle of the night. And I'm not just talking physically. Right now, some of you are in the night of your life. Some of you see darkness all around you. You don't see any hope. Maybe this morning, gathered here today, all you see is dread and all you see is a problem. But may I tell you, morning is coming. These disciples, they were waiting. They didn't know what else to do. They went back to doing what they knew how to do. But may I tell you, with Jesus in charge, there's always going to be a morning. It says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, how in the world did they not know that it was Jesus? How many of you can recognize somebody way far away just by the way they stand? Now, don't look at me like that, because I've seen some of you in the store, and you see me on the other side of the store, you know that it's me. And yet you suddenly get so interested in the cereal aisle that you forget it's me. Or you hear a voice. You may not see them clearly, but you know who it is. You know how I know that's true? Because when our minds aren't right and our emotions aren't right, we seem to lose focus on the truth. The disciples are upset. The disciples are scared. The disciples are trying to figure out what to do. And Jesus is on the shore, it says, but they didn't know it was Him. Are you that way this morning? You're looking for Him. Or maybe you're not. It's been so long since you've heard from Him. And He's calling to you, and you don't even know He's there. May I tell you, He's always there. You may not recognize Him sometimes, but He's always there. Remember I showed you that verse, 1 John 4:4? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Verse number 5, the most obvious question here. Then said Jesus unto them, children, you guys have any meat? You know what He's saying? Hey, y'all, you catch anything? Y'all catch anything? Have you had enough? Now, in my mind, their reaction is this. Are you crazy? We've been out here all night long. We've not caught nothing. But they don't know who it is. Now, my response would be this. Shut up! Amen? They'd be wanting to say it because they've been fishing all night long. They haven't caught nothing. Children, have you caught anything? They answered Him, no. Duh. Verse number 6. So He continues talking to them. Now wait a minute. They're not even looking for Him. There He is on the shore. Why are they carrying on a conversation from some stranger on the shore? He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Obviously, they were joyous at hearing this. Have you ever had somebody try to tell you something that is completely opposite of what you've been trying to do? If you've been married for any time and you've been fussing with something and working with something, and it's not working, and your spouse comes in and says, why don't you try it this way? How many of you look up and say, well, thank you, sweetie, I never thought of that? Or how many of you are like me? You've been working at it and working at it and working at it, and it just doesn't work. And then somebody comes along and tells you, why don't you try this? You know what you want to tell them. You bunch of pious Pharisees. The fishermen doing fishing all night long. But now wait a minute. About 2 years earlier, the same kind of conversation took place with John and James and Peter. Remember, they've been fishing all night long, and Jesus says, hey, fellas, why don't you cast back out into the water and fish again? And Peter said, we've been fishing all night long. Okay. Nevertheless, at thy word, Lord. And remember, they went out there and cast their nets out. Boom! It was full of fish in the middle of the day. And when they brought the fish back in, the Bible says that they had so many fish that their nets began to break. Because they just trusted Jesus. Look what it says now. It says, children, why don't you go ahead and put your net on the right side? They cast it, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Here's the parallel that I see in my life. And I'm not talking about y'all because I know y'all got it all figured out. But here's the parallel in my life. I try and I try and I try and I do and I do and I do. But sometimes it just does not work out. And I'm doing it in my own strength and my own power. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, all right, you ready to do it my way now? If I have to. And sure enough, when I do it His way, it's amazing what gets accomplished. Y'all been there? Maybe right now something's going on in your life. At school, at work, at home. And you've been trying and trying and trying. And it just isn't working. And the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, hey, isn't it about time that you just try it my way this time? They drew the net up. But here's the wonderful thing. It didn't break this time. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when this word was written, it was written in Greek and Aramaic. And when they translated it to the English language, they put a period right there. Now, I'm not faulting them for this. I don't believe this is how the conversation went. They're drawing the fish in. I don't think that John looked over at Peter and said this. Oh, by the way, that's the Lord. I think this is how the conversation went. It's the Lord! Now you say, why do you say that, Brother Brian? Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, we just need to shout a praise. It's the Lord that did it. Jesus did it. Jesus is the one that provided this. Jesus is the one that's doing the healing. Jesus Christ is the one that met with me. Jesus Christ has done it. We give too much credit to human beings. We give too much credit to our ideas. We give too much credit to our effort. We need to start giving more credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I don't think that John looked over Peter and said, it's just Jesus. No. I think this morning if we start having a time of fellowship and tremendous praising the Lord, that a lot of you could really honestly stand up and say, it's the Lord that done it. It's the Lord that done it. Then it says that Peter, good old Peter, when Peter heard this, he girt his fisherman's coat about him, for he was naked and had cast himself into the sea. Now, he was not without clothing. That word naked does not mean that he was out there fishing without any clothes on. Okay? Don't try to make this perverted. That just means that he was stripped down to a regular fisherman's clothing, unencumbered, probably wearing something around him that kept him from getting caught with the net or whatever else. But it says instead he gets his coat on and jumps in. Now, why in the world would he do that and jump into the water? Have you ever been fishing in waders and get fish water in your waders? What does it do to you? You ever get your clothes wet It just encumbers you. But Peter was so excited that it was Jesus. I want to get excited when Jesus shows up. I want to get excited when Jesus does something. He jumps out of the boat. And the other disciples, they came in a little bit later with the ship, for they were not far from land, but it was 200 cubits, about 200 yards, dragging the net with the fishes. I imagine they're probably grumbling. What's he doing? Why doesn't he jumps out and he starts getting as best as he can to get to Jesus. And they're grumbling to themselves. There goes Peter again, leaving us all the work. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which you have now caught. When we prepare our situations and we think we've got it all figured out and it doesn't work, the Lord is speaking to us sometimes and says, listen, I've already gone ahead of you. I've already got everything prepared for you. Just do it my way. And when you get there, it's all ready. What would have happened that night if they would have just kept on fishing on the left-hand side of the boat? Not a thing. But here's the amazing thing. Did Jesus need them to bring the fish to him? Where'd those fish come from? He's the Creator. Where'd that bread come from? He's the Creator. When they came to shore, he had the fire going. He had the food prepared. He was just waiting for them to obey him and trust him. Now, I don't have time to develop this point, but I want to encourage you to read the rest of this chapter, but I want you to pay attention to this. He has a conversation with Peter that's very key. Remember, Peter was the one that denied him three times before his crucifixion. If there was anybody that deserved to be scared of Jesus, it would have been Peter. Could you imagine standing before Jesus and trying to explain to him why you cussed his name? Why you denied him three times publicly? Could you imagine trying to answer for that? So when Peter gets to shore, he and Jesus have an interesting conversation. And here's what the essence of it is. Peter, I hate you and you're going to hell. Is that what Jesus told him? Jesus said, Peter, listen, son, I love you. Did Jesus know Peter denied him three times? The Bible says that when Jesus denied him the third time, him and Jesus and Peter made eye contact. Yeah, Jesus knew. Does Jesus know when we mess up? Do you think Jesus loves Peter any more than you and than he loves you? Oh. So as the dinner was prepared, I kind of imagine in my mind that Jesus had done that just for Peter. Or for me, because I was one of the other two disciples that's not named. So were you. I kind of think that he had that conversation with Peter And by the way, that conversation he had with Peter was right there at the fire. I kind of think that he was telling Peter and the other disciples, hey, it's okay. I know you messed up. And I know you're going to mess up. But guess what? You're still my child. I'm still going to prepare everything for you. I haven't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on me. Are you there this morning? Are you looking back and saying, oh, I wish I would've. Oh, I wish I didn't. And maybe this morning you're thinking, you know what? God can't use me no more. May I tell you? God will take what you'll give Him and use it for His honor and glory. As long as you are still breathing air. How many of you are breathing air this morning? Some of you are still asleep. That's okay. If you are breathing air this morning, God can forgive you, He can restore you, and He can still use you. But here's the wonderful thing. He doesn't say, do it on your own. He doesn't say, okay, get up and walk. He says, listen, I'll walk with you, but I'll put people in your life that will walk with you too. Now, some of you wondered, what in the world was I doing back there just a few minutes ago before everything started? My neck is hurting so bad right now. And I was dizzy. And I called the man that I knew that could help me. I said, Scott, come back here. And he cracked my neck right before I came up. Because I knew that he could help me. I could have been stubborn, and I could have stood up here and tried to preach this morning, dizzy as all get out, with my neck hurting. But I knew somebody could help me. There's somebody that can help you. In your family, at your job situation, at school, spiritually, whatever it is. Stop being so stinking stubborn and prideful. Let the Lord heal you and then get help with somebody else. Because you're loved. Well, what are people going to think about me? It don't matter. You're loved. And God will bring people into your life that love you and will help you. Amen? Well, I'm from Bryson City. I'm from Swain County. I'm from Jackson County. And I don't need no help. To quote a famous Western line, we don't need no stinking badges. May I tell you, I need help. I need someone to walk with me. You do too. I'm so glad that Jesus restored Peter to ministry. Whew. Because He wants to do the same thing for you and I. If you think you've gone too far, may I tell you, it ain't too late. I know that's not good English. Please don't direct me. It isn't too late, therefore, to keep going. Amen. Thank God for His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. I don't know what has taken place in your life.